The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Jimmy Evans discovered the four laws of love and realized that he had broken all of them.
Remember, marriage was created by God, not a lawyer or a lonely Neanderthal. Is God created marriage, and God created it to bless us, not harm us. And he created the laws to protect that relationship and to guide it and to guard us. God's a loving God. And so when you're married God's way, it's the safest relationship on earth.
Today, I'm Randy Robinson. This is Sheila Walsh, as always. Good to have you here. Always
well, thanks. It's nice to be here, and I'm excited about today's show.
I am, too. How's your marriage? Is it working out for you?
Do you know what? We're about to celebrate 25 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. That's and I love him more today than I did on the day I married him. Absolutely.
You know what? You must be following those basic rules, because come to find out, there are some laws, universal laws, that can make your marriage work. Of course, if you don't know them or go against them, it can make your marriage not so work. Would you welcome Jimmy Evans as we talk about the four laws of love?
Good to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Jimmy, good to have you back.
Thank you.
And I love this topic, and I love that there's only four. Seriously,
I do too.
Right? I don't need a hand. I'm a guy. I need a very basic, very simple, and I want to fix things. And this actually makes an incredible amount of sense.
I kind of wanted to ask you, though, what was the journey that led you into this study? Because you're known for this. I mean, people come from all over. Where did this start for you?
Well, we got married. My wife and I got married when we were 19 years old. We've been married 46 years.
Oh, wow.
And so we got married when we were 19, and I got saved a week before we got married. My wife told me a week before we got married she wouldn't marry me because I was such a bad guy, and I was. And so I received Christ a week before we got married. I was a horrible husband. I was dominant. I was just selfish, played golf all the time, worked all the time. And so we were on the brink of divorce. And one night, I told her to get out of the house. She was complaining about me being a jerk. And I was a big enough jerk that I just told her to get out. And so she went in the bedroom crying, and I went in the living room. And I knew the Lord, you know, and I read my Bible. And one day I had read, in fact, that morning, I had read in the Bible where it said that the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth. And it struck me. I didn't know that we were going to have a crisis in our marriage that evening, but it struck me, and I just thought, the Holy Spirit would lead me into all truth. He would teach me anything. So that night, when she's in the bedroom, and I told her to get out, in the living room, I asked the Holy Spirit to teach me how to be a husband. And I was not a humble person, so it was not characteristic of me. I didn't know what I was going to do if she left. I didn't know what I was going to do if she stayed. I was just in that place where I just didn't know what to do. And when I prayed that prayer, and I said, Holy Spirit, teach me how to be a husband. It was like something fell off of my eyes. I don't know how to explain it. I was deceived about myself and about her. I mean, a minute before I prayed that prayer, I thought, I missed wonderful. I just accidentally married the devil's ex-wife. Who knew, you know? And the instant after I prayed that prayer, I mean, I could see myself for the jerk that I was and my wife for how precious she was. Well, that started the journey. And it was a few days after that that I was literally, I just clung to the Holy Spirit, and I kept asking him every day, help me to change. Mm-hmm. And that's how I changed. Well, he led me one morning to Genesis 2, the four laws of love. Is for this cause a man will leave his father and mother, will cleave unto his wife. They two shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed. And he told me to turn there. And when I turned there, I just didn't see anything at all. It was just to me like, I don't know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, we've heard that a million times at Christian weddings.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's
what I thought. And I kept reading it, and I just knew he wanted me to keep reading it. And all of a sudden, they just unfolded to me. And it saved our marriage. And I'm telling you, you know, back 43 years ago, our marriage was saved by the four laws of love. Mm. And so when it says that for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, the reason that we know that God didn't just say that to Adam and Eve is they didn't have a mother. See, Adam and Eve both were directly created by God. So when God created Eve, marriage, and the instant after he created Eve and marriage, he spoke those words. And those words are four eternal laws that guide and guard the marriage relationship. And so that saved our marriage. And that's what I've taught, Sheila, all over the world.
Amazing.
But most people are very confused and fearful of the marriage relationship. And you know something? If there weren't laws governing the universe and the world, you'd be afraid too. You'd be afraid to walk outside. But because of laws create stability, predictability, and safety. Without laws, there's chaos. In America today, think about this. In 1983, 83% of adult Americans were married. Today, that's between 45 and 48%.
Wow.
And the reason for that is because we've rejected the Word of God. And we no longer look to the Word as a basis of authority. But even Christians don't understand the power of Genesis 2, 24 and 25. And see, one of the problems with that passage is so short. But Jesus said, you know, Lazarus, arise. And he came out of the grave.
Yeah.
God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Yeah.
God's not wordy. So when it comes to marriage, God created the laws that govern and safeguard marriage there, but also love. See, whenever the four laws of love, the first law is the law of priority. For this cause, a man will leave his father and mother. Before you get married, your parents are the most important relationship you have. And when it says leave, it's this word. It's azab. It's just let go of.
Let go. Mm-hmm.
Reprioritize. So marriage only works in first place. It won't work in second, third. If your children are more important than your marriage, if your work is more important than your marriage, if church is more important than your marriage isn't going to work.
Wow.
Because God created it in first place. The second law is the law of pursuit, and that is a man will cleave unto his wife. Again, that's an unfamiliar word to the English language, cleave.
Right.
It means to pursue with all your energy.
Huh.
It means marriage is work.
With your energy.
With your energy. That's right, with all your energy. And so God says, I want you to reprioritize your family, and now this is your new family. And some people say blood is thicker than water. That is true, but spirit is thicker than blood. And when God yokes you together, Jesus said, what God has joined them together, let not man separate. So this has to be number one, and you have to work at it. It's not going to happen if you don't work at it. Number three, they two shall become one flesh, is the law of partnership. Marriage is about sharing. An independent person, marriage is brutal on selfish people. If you're independent and selfish, it's not going to work because you're not going to share. If you're dominant, it's not going to work because research proves anytime you have dominance in marriage, the satisfaction and intimacy of the marriage dramatically declines. Mm-hmm. So we're partners. The two shall become one.
How do you define dominance?
Yeah, that's a bit of a cultural issue, right?
Disproportionate control of the relationship.
Hmm.
So let me say it this way. If your marriage is a company, you both own equal shares of stock. Okay, in a dominant relationship, someone owns more shares.
Yeah.
Through the force of their personality, through manipulation, through whatever means, they're not sharing with their spouse. They're dominating it. And we are not created by God to be dominated. Humans, we love to share in an equal relationship. You know, 1 Peter 3 says to men, you treat your wife as a fellow heir of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. I was a chauvinist. I came out of generations of chauvinism. And I saw chauvinism when I was growing up. The women in our family, not my mother necessarily, but the other women in the family, very docile. The men very dominant. And I thought, that's of God, and I want one of those.
Well, some churches were taught that man is to be the head of the wife.
Right.
Because there's language in the Scripture that can read that way.
But it's as
understanding
Jesus.
Understanding what that means,
I know.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm with you.
Yeah, we're supposed to be the head like Jesus. And Jesus is not a dominant head. He's a servant head.
That's
and
beautiful.
So, see, women leadership is one of a woman's basic needs. Okay. Women want to be led by their husbands, not dominated. They want to be treated as equals. Women feel secure. Security is a woman's number one need.
Mm.
Women feel secure when their husband is the loving initiator of the well-being of the home. And see, Jesus never dominates us. Mm. He never makes us pray. He never makes us read our Bible. He never makes us go to church. He leads us.
Yeah.
He's the loving initiator.
Mm.
So the whole concept of it, by the way, there's many dominant women as dominant men.
Mm.
It's a gender neutral issue. And so, but the law of partnership says you're going to share, that they two shall become one.
Yeah.
And then it says the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed. The word naked there is the word arom in the Hebrew. It means exposed on every level, mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally. You have total access to me. So this is where intimacy comes from. As long as they were pure, they had that environment. As soon as they sinned, they covered themselves. Because if you're not careful, I can't trust you. And by the way, when they sinned, blame transfer was the original sin of marriage. When God came up to Adam, he said, that woman over there.
The one you gave me.
The one, that one, he was accusing God.
Yeah, he was. That one
that
you
woman,
gave me.
And men have been saying it ever since. And then the woman said, the devil made
me
do it.
Yeah, the devil made me do it. Right?
And so rather than taking responsibility, and so the law of purity says this, I have to be careful, and when I make a mistake, I need to take responsibility. And when I went into my wife the night that our marriage almost ended, I had never said I was sorry. When we got in a fight, I was a prosecuting attorney, and I was awful. I went in that night, and I said, I'm sorry. And that was the beginning of the healing in our relationship. Now, she didn't trust me, and I didn't blame her, and our marriage wasn't wonderful that night. But day after day, as I was careful and I took responsibility for my behavior, all of a sudden we had an intimacy that we had never had before. So let me go back to four laws of love. Priority, it's got to be first. I have to work at it. Pursuit, we have to be partners, and I have to be careful. The law of purity here, okay? So how do you fall in love, okay? How do people fall in love? They naturally, when we're falling in love, we naturally follow the four laws, okay? I put you first, okay?
That's true.
That I work at it, okay? I treat you right. I treat you as an equal. And I take responsibility for my problems.
Yeah, okay. Otherwise it's not going to work. You're not going anywhere.
And you fall in love, okay? The four laws of love create love, but they also guard that love. Because as long as we're following the four laws, see, God created marriage to get better every year. What, you know, the honeymoon is over thing? Isn't that the most depressing concept on earth?
It's terrible.
Is that, you know, now that the rookie, when do we ever look to the rookie to teach us how to be, the veteran is the better one. And so in marriage, when you do it God's way, it's an upward trajectory. And you know marriage is the safest relationship on earth when you do it God's way.
And that's fascinating. I mean, that's, I love that stuff. I've never heard anybody say that before. Unpack what you mean by that.
Well, so God created us for marriage. Okay, God would never create anything to harm us. Mm-hmm. Remember, marriage was created by God, not a lawyer or a lonely Neanderthal. Is God? God created marriage, and God created it to bless us, not harm us. And He created the laws to protect that relationship, and to guide it and to guard us. God's a loving God. And so when you're married God's way, it's the safest relationship on earth, okay? Mm-hmm. When you take the laws away, it's just chaotic. You know, it's just, you don't know. When I was, we were about to split up, I remember the confusion and fear I felt.
Yeah.
Marriage to me was the greatest mystery in the world. And that's what the devil wants it to be, is a mystery, something we're all terrified of. And you said it, Randy, at the beginning, I was an idiot.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying,
okay.
If there would have been more than four laws, I wouldn't have made it.
Oh, yeah.
If there had been five or six, I don't know if I'd have made
it.
It's so simple. Mm-hmm. And so I was the biggest idiot in the world in marriage. And I didn't have a counselor except for the Holy Spirit. Mm. And when I asked the Holy Spirit to teach me how to be a husband, and He taught me the four laws, and all of a sudden I realized I've broken all four. Yeah. For an entire marriage. Mm-hmm. No wonder our marriage is so damaged. And so, and I'm the hope that I want everybody to hear, if you're not married and you're fearful of it, I totally get it. But I'm telling you, you don't have to live that way. But if a person's married and they just feel helpless, like their marriage is spinning out of control, you can get it back, and it's not that hard. It's just the four laws.
You mentioned this trajectory, right? Mm-hmm. It reminds me, as we spoke of before the program, of the laws of aerodynamics.
Right.
Where once you understand that some things aren't going to change and that they affect each other, gravity, velocity, resistance, lift. Once you get that down and you master them, if you will, then you can fly.
That's right.
Right? So you're saying that these are simple enough and proven enough that it's not going to change. It's going to work for everybody.
Every single person. God is no respecter of persons. Hmm. And the wonderful thing about marriage, because when you're struggling in your marriage and you see people that are happy, you're just thinking, I'm just unlucky. You know, I'm trapped in this unlucky relationship.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with luck. It has to do with law. And so if you see a plane crash and a pilot that's up there fooling around and not paying attention and doesn't respect gravity and he crashes, he wasn't unlucky.
No.
You know, he was messing around with the law.
Yeah.
And so when our marriage was failing, I had no idea that I was breaking the law. When I realized the laws of love, and as a young, ignorant husband, just began to, I hung up my golf clubs. The first thing I did, the first right thing I did, after I apologized, is I hung up my golf clubs, and that's when Karen knew that Jesus had my heart.
Okay, now hang on.
Lord is in the building.
Right? I want to go to that, because one of the things you say that we demonstrate love by how much we're willing to sacrifice.
That's exactly right.
Why is that important?
Well, so you have to prove your priorities in real terms, not just words. And so love, and if you say to a woman that you love her, that women will be nice and smile at you. But here's how women define that. What will you give up for me? See, Jesus gave up his life for us. So when Jesus tells us he loves us, we know he loves us. And so I would say to Karen, she would say, can you stay home and not go play golf? And I would say, I need to go play golf, but I do love you. And she would just give me that look like, you know, only women can give you. Mm-hmm. And she'd just look at me. And basically what she was saying is, liar, if you love me, you would be willing to sacrifice mm-hmm. that. So love is measured by what will you give up for me.
And that works in a relationship where there is the equal to 50-50.
That's right.
Because if it gets domineering the other way, then obviously then that becomes out of balance.
One of the things I wanted to ask, that I'm thinking of people watching in at the moment, and maybe it's a wife who's willing to change or a husband who's willing, and they think, but my partner is not willing.
That's correct.
What do you do
then? Great question. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about redemptive love, that Jesus loved us when we were in sin. And then in 1 Peter 3, Peter uses two illustrations of redemptive love. The first is a woman. The second is a man. And what he's saying is, in the same way, you wives, if your husband is disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the chaste and respectful behavior, and so on and so forth. Husbands, love your wives with understanding, as with a weaker vessel, as a fellow heir of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. Hmm. And so here's the issue, Sheila, and this is a big issue, because many, many people watching this right now, they're willing, but their spouse isn't. Well, Karen, before I ever changed, Karen went to the Lord one day and she said, don't change Jimmy, change me.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to try to change Jimmy. I just want you to change me, and I'm going to give Jimmy to you. And what happened in our relationship was, she was always so reactive to me, and you didn't want to fight with me. I just wasn't righteous in that regard. And she kept coming to me and coming at me, and I just would come back at her and damaged her in the process, mm-hmm. emotionally. But she stopped. And one day I noticed that her spirit toward me changed. And she started being kind mm-hmm. and loving, even when I was being a jerk. And it made me feel bad. And I just thought, well, can you fight with me? Don't treat me like that. That's when the Lord started convicting me. And so if you fight fire with fire, you get a bigger fire. The only way you can defeat a spirit is with the opposite spirit. And the tendency we all have when we get our feelings hurt and we get angry is to...
Yeah.
Like this. Jesus did the opposite. When we were his enemy, he was our friend. Mm. When we were rejecting him, he was pursuing us. Mm. And that's the example of 1 Peter 2. It says, you've been called to this, wives, husbands. Mm. The most important place that you have to be redemptive. And it's not just when your marriage is terrible. It's on a daily basis. Mm. When you're married, you know, every day your spouse does something that you could react to. Mm. And sometimes you need to talk about it and resolve it. But a lot of cases, the only answer is to come back with the opposite spirit.
Yeah.
If your marriage is wonderful and you want to keep it wonderful, this will be good for you. If your marriage could use a little work, these are the laws that will make it work. And if you're not married, but you think you will be someday, what a good place to start. We want to send you this book, When You Help Us, as we reach out and help others. Watch this.
Mothers in underdeveloped countries continue to watch their children suffer and die at an alarming rate. One of the reasons is a crisis you don't hear much about in the news, a water crisis. According to the United Nations, millions of people, most of them children, die from diseases associated with an unfit water supply and sanitation issues. Brenna knows all too well what unclean water is doing to her children.
You know, no mother should have to bury a child because they simply don't have a clean water source. And that's why we're here.
These deaths do not have to happen. There is a simple solution that can stop the heartache and pain these families have experienced.
I'm asking you to help us. The need here is urgent. So here's what I'm thinking. Can you think of one thing that you can live without to give them the one thing they can't live without? What they need is clean water. They just want to provide their children with clean, healthy water so that they don't get sick. So I'm asking you in Jesus' name, it will make such a difference in their lives. It will give mothers hope and it will give children a future.
You know, someone said to me after I came back from this last trip in Zambia, you know, do you think that these mothers, well, you know, they're experiencing this all the time. Perhaps they would get more used to it than we would. There is no mother on the planet who would ever get used to burying their child. I mean, some of these moms I sat with, there was a language barrier, but there was a mother bond. We would sit beside each other and simply weep together. I didn't know how to express in words, but we didn't need words because it was an understanding of the grief and the helplessness and the hopelessness. But when I mean, that last trip has changed me forever because it's not something that I think, well, there's nothing we can do about this. This is something we can do something about because I went from those villages where the water was filthy and I almost wanted to stop the children drinking it, but it was all they had. But then I would go to a village where there was a well and it said, given by Life Outreach International. And I watched these children drink clean, fresh water, death and life. And you and I can bring life-giving water in Jesus' name. And it's so easy. I mean, it's not something that, you know, you need millions to do. Do you know that we can put a whole well in a village for $4,800? I mean, I think if we could just get into the habit of skipping something. I mean, who needs to go and see one more bad movie or go out for dinner? You know, make yourself something at home and let's change the world for some people. And Randy, if we do it together, This is very doable.
Yeah. $4,800 is a lot to me.
Yeah.
But $48, that's a little more realistic. And that gives water to 10 people for a lifetime. A lifetime. $144 will give water for a lifetime on average to 30 people. That's just, we've been doing this for years. We've got the system down. We know what we're doing here. We just need you to partner with us. And it's as simple as going online, going to the phone, giving the best gift you can. Sheila, you said something there where you said, is there something we could do without to give something they can't do? Without. That's such a powerful statement because literally one cup of coffee would give water to one person for a lifetime. That's a fast exchange.
Well, I was standing beside a well and there was a snake in it and it's filthy and the water's dirty and I'm watching this darling mom put her bucket down and that's all she's got. And I'm thinking, you know, we could give up something that we can live without to give them the one thing they can't live without.
Yeah.
So we can do it together. We can all do something. Mm. And if we all do something together, we can literally change the world. Please go to the phone. Give the best gift you can.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, these are beautiful children, beautiful families that have come here to contaminated water sources. And with your help, we're giving not only here in Africa help to people, but in countries all over the world where people are dying of diseases from contaminated water. We can drill wells in scores of countries if you would just help drill one well. Maybe you could drill a well or join one or two other people to drill one. But we need every person watching to do your part in helping provide families like this and children like this water sources, non-contaminated water, clean water, in nations throughout the world. And every time we do it, we inspire others to join us. So would you be that source of inspiration and help by making the best gift you can today?
Thank you so much. The lines are busy. Please keep calling. And for any gift at all, we'd love to send you The Four Laws of Love by Jimmy Evans, guaranteed success for every married couple.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It will help you as you help us help others. So please do give the best gift you can. And would you give a warm thank you to Jimmy Evans for sharing such great insight with us?
I really appreciate it.
That is so encouraging. You encouraged all of us.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. Don't miss Life Today. Every day you can watch us online at any time. Thank you for being with us.
See you next time.
Sheila Walsh looked to God when her joy turned into sorrow.
I'm so sorry to tell you, but your baby is incompatible with life.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.